Hi. This is Jackie with Cashflow Depot. We've had a lot of questions recently about making a multiple offers to sellers whenever they have a house for sale. So I invited Ben Socek, who's really a specialist at making multiple offers, not just on properties in his own backyard, but properties in other places remotely that he invests in also. So Ben, I want to thank you for being on the call today to answer my questions about multiple offer letters and why you send those out, how you come up with what the offers need to be. So have you discovered, I know you've been investing for 15 or 20 years for quite some time, have you discovered that making multiple offers that you close more deals because of that?
That certainly is the case, that I think a lot of my success is from creating and offering multiple offers to sellers, because we really don't know what is actually going to work for them, no matter what they tell us. And so sending those multiple offers to them has really helped me buy the houses that I have.
Yeah, so often the sellers are used to just getting, oh, well, their mortgage is going to be paid off if there's a mortgage. Whoever the buyer is going to go to a bank and get financing, and they're just going to get cashed out. And most sellers, civilians especially, they think that that's the way that all real estate is done. The majority of people have no idea that there's other ways that they can get their house sold that could be even more beneficial to them than just getting their house cashed out. So with your multiple offer letter, it gives you an opportunity to communicate that to people. And I think putting it in writing gives people the opportunity that they can sit there and think about it and analyze it and really decide if maybe that offer might be better for them. How do you come up with what the offers need to be in your multiple offer letter, Ben?
The way that I break the numbers down is that we start, of course, with, like I'm sure everybody does, with the potential value or the ARV of the house. And what I do then is subtract the what I term the transaction cost of if they were to sell the house to in any way, shape, or form, there's going to be some basic transaction costs, which are marketing costs, whether they enlist the help of an agent or not. There's going to be something that they're going to have to do to find a buyer. And so that's an expense. Typically, no buyers will pay asking price, so there's a buyer's discount. The closing costs, both for their side, the selling side, and if a person sells traditionally, there's going to be cost to pay for the buyer, especially if they're getting a loan. And of course, the deferred maintenance. Before the deferred maintenance, though, the basic transaction costs are going to be applicable in about every transaction when a seller sells. And so I will show that to the seller multiple times. And that gets us, that and the deferred maintenance gets us to a point of what I term a retail net equity. And another way that I describe that to sellers is if they were to market the property traditionally, I think that's a number that they might get if everything works out just right for them. And so that's kind of where we start as a basis from where I make my offers, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. So, assuming that the offer that you're making is to someone that is either their house has some deferred maintenance or there's some motivation level on their part that they need to get the house sold quickly. Would that be the generalization of the majority of the offers that you're making?
I think so. The way too that I explain a retail net equity is, I think a lot of investors, and certainly I was taught this way, is ask. Only pay 65 or 70% of ARV, after repaired value, minus a profit. And I think a lot of, when I ran into a lot of sellers, they would say, how are you coming up with your numbers, or how are you coming up with your offers? And so this was a way to attempt to be very transparent, to to show them that if they're going to, if they sell a house, no matter how they sell it, there's these transaction costs that they're going to encounter. And so that's kind of where this came about as well.
When you're making multiple offers, is one of them is probably an all-cash offer, and then what typically are some of the other offers?
Usually the three or four different basic offers that I will give, assuming that a house is free and clear or has very little debt, would be an offer of, say, $300 down, and then just monthly payments until the entire offer price is paid. A second will be maybe 10% or so of the overall purchase price down, and then monthly payments until the rest of it's paid. And those two, typically the payments will run anywhere from 7 to 15 years or so. sometimes I do offer balloons in there at 7 to 10 years, but my initial offers will be just until paid. And a third offer typically is half now and half in 7 years, and then that all-cash offer. And then there has been times in the past where I will make an offer of just one balloon payment 10 years in the future. And because of circumstances that I didn't know at the time when I made those offers, I did get a couple of those accepted.
Hey, if you don't ask, you don't get it, right?
That's exactly right. And you never know. If you don't uncover, or if you don't throw the offer out, that has uncovered what their motivation for selling was in the first place. And so, yes,
yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get until you ask.
Yeah, you know, the very first rehab project that I did, and this is probably 18 months after I'd just been doing wholesale flips, there was this older gentleman that had a house to sell, and it needed quite a bit of work. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try this rehabbing thing instead of passing all the profit over to the people that I'm selling my wholesale flips to. I want to get in on the action, and I want to make some money. So the guy that I made the offer to, I made him a low ball all cash offer, but then I offered, maybe it was 5% more, it wasn't very much more, and I said that I'll pay you just one payment after I get the house all fixed up and I get it sold. And I said, I don't know if that's going to take 4 months or 6 months or 9 months, but as soon as it's all fixed up and as soon as I sell it, then you'll get paid. And much to my surprise, he took that offer that, you know, no interest, no payments, no nothing, and he was just going to get paid whenever I got the house sold. So all these people that are out there getting hard money loans and you know, getting private lenders involved that are taking a lot of their profit, if they would just make some offers to the sellers, then they may find that the seller would basically be doing that financing for them without having any payments or points or high interest rates.
That's exactly right. With the one of the offers that I had accepted for the 10-year balloon, no payments, no interest during that entire time, when I made the offer, the seller told me that's really what they were looking for, because it was a situation where the funds were going to go to a party that this personal representative did not want funds going to for a long time, if possible, because they were afraid that that person was just going to blow all the money.
Yeah.
And so without knowing that, though, I made the offer, and she's the one that explained how that fits exactly what they were looking for.
Right, and sometimes, you know, for someone to cash out a house and get cash in a certain year, whenever maybe their income was high and it could create some capital gains taxes, sometimes there's a lot of tax advantages to the seller not getting the money whenever they sell the house. But you don't know that until you have until you make the offer and you have that conversation with people. So it's good to do that. So typically, Ben, whenever you're making these multiple offers, How much below market would you say that some of the properties are? Are they all way below market? Are you getting buying some of them pretty close to retail, but just with some really good terms?
Typically, if I get a terms offer, the way that I will make a terms offer, or I guess the ones that I've had accepted, are probably very close to actually if a person, I guess what you mentioned is probably retail. In several circumstances, I did turn around and sell the property, and because it just wasn't good for holding for a rental for me, and we did turn around and sell those properties and just move the lien to another property that I did want to keep, and would typically not really lose much, if anything, on that transaction. So we sold it for about the same price that my lien was for, even though the lien was on a different property at that point. And any type of, depending on the terms, obviously, that my offers are anywhere from probably 20 to 40% higher than a cash offer. And when I'm, if my competition is only other home buyers or only giving cash offers, then some sellers are much more concerned about that overall price, even though they're taking payments for years, versus just a cash now price if they don't need the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps me with my competition, too, of buying houses that I wouldn't have bought otherwise.
Right, because your competition's just making that all cash offer that's way below market, and basically you're competing for who's going to pay the most money. But when you can outmaneuver them by offering even more money but with terms, that's much more attractive to sellers, and that's why they're more likely to take your offer over a lowball all cash offer. It just depends on their situation.
Correct. That is correct. Depends on what they need or want to see happen.
Whenever you're making these multiple offers, do you actually talk to the people about it over the phone first, or do you just send it by email to them, or do you actually put it in the mail and send it off as a physical letter?
Years ago, I used to sit down with sellers when I was inspecting all my houses and actually go through those with them. But for the last several years, when I have other inspection agents inspecting the houses and then sending me that information, I will send out a physical package with those offers in the mail, priority mail, so that they can see them and read through them. And then I follow up with a phone call afterwards to see if any of the offers will work, or if we're in the ballpark, or if there's something else that we can do to put something together to make it work for them.
Well, and it's especially important because you're buying, you live in Nebraska. Not only are you buying in Nebraska, but you're buying in Missouri and is it Florida? Florida also. So you can't physically sit down with all the different sellers. So it's important that they get that offer to them as fast as possible, and that's sending it next day delivery. It costs a little bit of money to do that, but if it helps you close more deals, your profit margin's going to more than pay for it.
Yes, that's what I considered also. Again, years ago when I just did business in Omaha and Kansas City, I did meet with everybody in both of those metro areas, and I was away from home typically 3 days a week. But anymore, it's just mailing those offers to the individuals and then following up with a phone call to try and provide a solution that will work for that seller in however way that we can.
Yeah, so let's say you send a letter and it's got maybe three or four different offers in it. How do you move from that point to contract once they've picked one of those offers?
Sometimes a person will, one of the pages is has information on that says we'll accept offer 1, 2, 3, or 4. Sometimes I actually have people that just mail or fax those back right away without any other discussion. Other times I will call and they'll let me know that, well, they couldn't work with this exact offer, but something else might work for them. Or it gives me another chance then on the phone to follow up to see if we can combine one of the offers, or if we can maybe increase the monthly payments to shorten the duration of the payout, or do something to make it work for them. And once we have a yes, then I will have the inspection agent, the same person that inspects properties for me, go back out with a purchase agreement to get that started.
Mm-hmm.
And
so, yeah, it's important. Once they say yes to whatever you've agreed to, it's important to get that contract signed as quickly as possible before they get cold feet, or before they start overanalyzing it and saying, well, you know, if he would go up $200 a month on the payment, maybe I could squeeze him into $400 a month payment. So once they say yes and everybody's agreed to everything, it's really important to get that contract signed quickly.
That's correct. And if they have a fax or email, most people do, not all people, but some people do, that if the agent can't get there right away, that I can email them the initial paperwork and have them sign that and get it back to me, and then we'll get it to a title company to start that process right away. And, yes, get everything done as quickly as we can.
Ben, with you sending out multiple offers to all of the sellers that you communicate with, what would you say the percentage of close ratios is of the people that you send a contract to? If you send out 10 contracts or 10 multiple offer letters, how many of those would you typically close?
Up till last year in 2016, we had an acceptance rate, I guess you might say, of 1 out of every 7 or 8 offers that we sent was accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think a lot of people are experiencing this in the market. It's really a seller's market where people are paying, it seems like, too much for houses again now, and there's a lot more competition for us out there. I sent less offers out, but I think I had 1 out of every 5 or 6 accepted last year. But up to that point, it's been about 1 out of every 7 or 8.
And what's the typical, from the time they get that multiple offer letter, what's the typical time from the day you send out the letter until it goes to contract?
If a person wants to move ahead, typically we'll have it bought within a week. We do allow people to stay in the house longer than that if they need to or if they want to. But from the time when a person says, yes, let's move ahead, till the time that we close, it's typically a week to 10 days at the most.
Yeah, that's great. And that, you know, that's being able to close quickly is part of your success ratio, I'm sure.
Yes. And certainly if a person chooses one of the terms offers, we typically won't put, especially if it's, a $300 down and then payments, it takes very little cash to actually close that. It's the $300 and then the closing cost, and that's really about it to close on that property.
Right, yeah. So you can close quickly, and that's I'm sure some of your offers are also like buying it subject to the mortgage, or maybe subject to the mortgage with a little bit of cash going to the seller also. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting mortgage information if there is any, and having the title company draw up the closing documents. It can all be done in about a week.
Yes, or quicker. I fortunately have a pretty good relationship with the title companies in the communities where I buy in, and so they typically take pretty good care of me, that if I want something pushed through, we can do it very fast. I think we had one transaction a few years ago where we closed it in 24 hours from the time that we had the purchase agreement signed. The seller was ready to move out of town, and he was ready to go as soon as we could get things closed, and we closed it within 24 hours.
Yeah, you, and that's really important to have, you know, to know what your exit strategy is, to know who's going to be closing the contract. You know, and if there's a situation where the title company just can't get things done quickly enough, it's a good idea for you to know how to document the deals yourself. Get those people to sign the warranty deed over and create some of the closing documents yourself. And have them sign authorization or power of attorney for someone to sign for them so that the seller can just move on and you can get it closed when the title company can get things ready. I've had many situations where the seller has called and said, the U-Haul's packed, we're leaving tomorrow morning. If you want this house, come and get it. So on a Saturday, you're not going to get a title company that's going to be able to close that one. But if you know how to document your own deals, then you can get those things closed.
That certainly is beneficial too. I've never done that myself. I will admit that. But if you know how to do that, then have all the tools that you can prepared. That's true.
Right. Any other points that you would like to share with us about the importance of making multiple offers?
I would just say to have them prepared, to think of what will work, because no matter which offer I present to a seller, I don't care which one the seller accepts. I know that it's going to be a good deal to me no matter what. And so always be prepared, I guess. Be thinking ahead of time before you make the offer of which ones you can make that might work for them. And so that no matter what they choose, you're in a great position. I have heard some people say that you don't want to confuse a seller, which I agree with. If a seller is confused, if anyone's confused, a person's going to say no. But I still like giving them a few options just because we don't know all the time exactly what the motivation is or what will make things work for them. And without knowing that, I make the offers and then find out if something will work for them. And especially if a person is set on price, then this is one way to allow them to keep or have their price that they want, but at my terms. And so hopefully both sides of the party get what they're looking for. And come away with something that benefits each party.
Yeah, very, very good points. Well, Ben, I want to thank you so much for sharing this information with us about the importance of making multiple offers and how it can really help you close more deals. The course that you have called Virtual Real Estate Wealth, it has the multiple offer letter that you use, I believe, or at least one variation of it, and a lot more information about making multiple offers. So I want to encourage everybody to look on the Cashflow Depot website in the recorded seminars. That Virtual Real Estate Wealth course has about a two-hour video of Ben talking about investing in multiple markets, and he talks about the multiple offer letter and just how to get more deals done. So thank you so much for sharing this information with us, Ben. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for the opportunity, Jackie, to chat with you and to just, I guess, go over what I think is a great thing and a great tool that's helped me a lot. And if anyone has any questions, I assume they can post them at Cashflow Depot, and I'd be happy to answer those.
Right. You know, making multiple offers could be the game changer for anybody's real estate business. If you're just making one offer, there's a 50-50 chance the seller's going to say yes or they're going to say no. But if you make two or three or four different offers for the seller to select from, you've got a much more bigger chance that they're going to pick one of those offers. So everybody needs to start making multiple offers when they're talking to sellers. Thanks again, Ben. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. You too, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.